story. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It isn't us holding on to Him. It's Him holding on to us. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for that tonight, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. Amen. Glad to have you back in service tonight. Amen. You came back. Amen. Amen. Thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just want to, as we mentioned this morning, continue to pray for Brother Doug. Amen. Just pray the Lord would really bless him on he's out hunting this week. So, amen. Just want the best for him. Amen. Amen. He labors and is under a great strain, so that you can have the best. He wants the best for all of us, so we should want the best for him. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, this is the last weekend of the month, which Brother Doug had kind of set forth a desire to start having services, setting aside Sunday night services to sort of orient, direct the service towards the youth. Amen. So we don't have a guest speaker tonight, but but that doesn't mean that we can't preach to the youth. Amen. Amen. So by God's grace, we'll do that tonight. And just believing that even as we just kind of take that first initial steps, you know, and we're trying to put focus on it. Amen. And we believe by just starting to put focus on it, and we'll, you know, Lord willing, we'll have ministry come in and you know, do those things. But starting to put focus on it, we believe that there will be fruit from it. Amen. Because our young people are the next generation. Amen. Amen. And you know, we've got to have somebody to hand the torch to, and you know, we believe that if the Lord tarries, that that generation will carry the word until he comes. Amen. The next one and the next one, however long. I don't believe it'll be that long, but yet we want to be found faithful. Amen. Passing on what has been given to us. Amen. We've been blessed so much. Let's continue that. Amen. Continue the work of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight I do want to kind of continue the direction that we were going this morning, and I'll take a subject here tonight that I have preached here before, but just the Lord put it on my heart, so believe that it'll be timely. It's definitely been proven to me over and over not to ignore that, even if it in my own mind it doesn't make sense, but we trust His mind. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we read our scripture, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. There was another prayer request. Sister Shea put in a prayer request for her brother AJ. He's not feeling well tonight. So let's go ahead and remember him as we bow our heads tonight. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, once again, Father, for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we're here once again, Father, as we change the order of the service now, Lord, and we're looking to your word. And we're looking to you, Lord, to take your word and make it live, Father, and to apply it in our lives, Lord. And so we just ask you once again, Lord, for our daily bread in this service, Father. And Lord, we want to remember our brother AJ tonight. Lord, he's not feeling well. And just pray that your healing mercies, Lord, would just fall upon him. And Father, that his faith would be lifted up, Lord, and that, Lord, that promise would just drop into his heart and he would receive his healing tonight, Lord. And we pray that you would bless our brother Baker, Lord, and just be with him, Lord, as he's taking a few days off and a little rest. And Father, we pray that you just give him strength and health and rejuvenation, Father. And Lord, we're here to serve you. Lord, we're here for Tonight, while we are dedicating this service, Lord, to our young people, we know that your word applies to everyone equally, Lord. It's for young, old, and everything in between. But Lord, we do want to just acknowledge, Lord, that Lord, our young people need you, Lord, and we all need you. But this time of life, Lord, that they're in, they need to be founded, Lord, on the right foundation, and they need their direction set, Lord, and only you can do that. Father, I pray that the word would just minister to them tonight, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. We thank you, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we're standing, let's read our scripture here tonight from Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read to you several scriptures. That's the beauty of having it on the projector, is I don't have to wait for you to turn to them. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, it's okay if you want to turn to them. If you're fast, I'm not going to wait for you though. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Job chapter 4, verse 8, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." And Proverbs 11:18, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." Hosea 8:7, "For they have sown to the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stock, the bud shall yield no meal, if so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." And 2 Corinthians 9:10, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Amen. You can have your seats tonight. So we want to speak about the law of sowing and reaping tonight. Amen. Because God has established natural laws that help us understand spiritual laws. And God has established spiritual laws that, just like natural laws, if we work according to those spiritual laws, they will work the same way every time. And it's like the law of gravity. You don't have to wonder, is it going to work this time? Oh, it worked that time. Is it going to work this time? Yep, it worked this. It'll work every single time. Amen? Unless you get out into outer space and you're out of reach of it, all right? But here on the earth, gravity is a constant. It works every time. It's a natural law, and it's just a type of God's spiritual laws that work every time if we work according to those laws. Amen? And so one of the laws is the law of reaping and sowing. We see it in the natural, and we see it in the spiritual. You sow, in other words, you plant, you reap, you gather the harvest. What you plant is what you harvest. Amen? And the law of sowing and reaping tells us that you don't get a harvest from something other than what you put in the ground. You reap what you sow. Right? Good or bad, whatever it is, that's what you get out. You don't plant a corn seed, right, and get a barley harvest. Right? You don't plant an acorn and expect to get a watermelon. Whatever you plant, that's what grows up. That's what comes forth out of the ground. It's that way spiritually. Whatever you plant, that's what you sow. Amen? The other part of the law is whatever you plant, you get back multiplied. Amen? It's not one for one. It's multiplied coming forth. So if it's good, it's multiplied. It's great. If it's bad, it's multiplied. It doesn't matter. It's a law. Amen? So God established those laws, and they are no respecter of persons. They don't care who you are, right? They don't care if you're, it doesn't matter if you're a child of God or not a child of God. It applies to everyone. Amen? The laws are the laws. It doesn't matter if you're smart, rich, have status. None of that matters. Amen? A law is a law. So God established those laws in the beginning. And we have the ability to choose what we plant in our lives. Right? The choice comes in the planting. You don't get to choose when it's time to harvest, right? That's past the time to choose. Because the plant is already grown up and the fruits are already there in your life. The time of choosing comes when you plant the seed. Amen? And brother, sister, every decision that we make is a seed that we are planting in our life. Every decision. Amen? Whether we decide to entertain a thought, that's a decision. Right? You can't decide whether Satan's going to plant thoughts in your mind. You can't control that. But you decide to entertain that thought. That's a decision. It's going to plant a seed in your life. Right? Now, it may not be, anything big. It might not amount to much. It might just be a dumb passing thought, right? But yet, it still is a thought. It still is going to have a harvest. Some decisions reap a huge harvest, and some reap smaller harvests. But every seed will bring forth. Amen? So every decision of every thought, every decision of every action is sowing seed in your lives. And every one of those has consequences. Now, we speak about these things particularly to the young people because they have so much of their life ahead of them that the decisions that they make now, the multiplication effect in their lives is so much greater than those that are at near the end of their life, right? If you don't have as much time in front of you, the decisions that you make won't be multiplied as much. But the decisions that you make as a young person are multiplied. Amen? They will affect. I am still being affected by decisions I made when I was a teenager. And I will be the rest of my life. Amen? Because there are certain decisions and seeds that you plant into your life that have that ongoing multiplying effect. And they can be good or they can be bad. I know, my father-in-law, who was gifted with much wisdom, he would always say, talk about young girls that would get pregnant, right? And he said, it's a shame that a teenager makes a decision for an adult later in life. Because that decision that she made as just, a dumb teenager, if I could put it that way, right, a dumb decision. She got pregnant as a teenager. It now affects the entire rest of her life. Amen? As an adult, she is still being affected by that decision. So that's the importance of what we're talking about here tonight, especially for our young people, but it's true for everyone. Amen? And, I think Brother Doug has expressed it before, but I think it's a good it's worthy of mention. If you don't like what you're harvesting right now in your life, you start planting the right kinds of seeds, right? You can't change what happened in the past. You can't change the seed that was sown in the past, but you can change what you're planting right now. And you start planting right now, and eventually you're going to reap that harvest. Amen? So everything, this morning we were talking about, seeds that are being planted, and we were kind of going over God's word being a seed, right, and how it would be manifested in our lives, and we were talking about how that, what's important about that is the atmosphere that it comes into. Right, that your mind has to be open for the word of God to penetrate. It's a gate, right? And it has to be willing for that word to come and penetrate all the way down into your soul. But Satan's Eden is intent on clogging up, amen, your mind, and it's intent on getting your focus on the wrong things and trying to distract you from making the right decisions and planting the right kind of seed in your life. But we are called to create an atmosphere, right? That's part of, you know, when Jesus is speaking about this, the parable of the sower, the seed going forth into good ground and some stony ground and some ground that got choked up. What it's talking about is the atmosphere that seed is being planted into. And that atmosphere is your life. Amen. It's the atmosphere of your heart. Whether it's received with faith and allows that word to multiply, right? We spoke about how we are the vine, he is the vine, and we are the branches, amen. And we are the ones that produce the fruit of the word, right? Amen. That we are the ones that are supposed to allow him to come and prune us, and to shake us, and to stir up our hearts, to break up the fallow ground, as we've preached before. Amen. To push aside stones out of our lives so that we can bring forth much fruit. Amen. And all of that is important. We must do that and to allow the word of God to work in our lives. That seed is going to be, it's going to be multiplied in our lives based on the atmosphere that we create around it. An atmosphere of praise, of prayer, of faith. Amen? That's up to us. Amen? The word, the seed, is God's part to give you the promise. But it's up to us to create the atmosphere around it. Amen? To worship, to praise God, even when we don't feel like it. Amen. Even when the circumstance doesn't seem to dictate it, yet we praise God anyway because we have the promise. And we prayerfully receive it, and by faith we accept it and we hold on to it. Amen. The atmosphere of faith is one that grabs a hold of the promise and says, I'm not going to let go of this. I don't care what's coming, but I know that this word is going to multiply in my life. It's going to do something for me. Amen. Amen? That way it can manifest. Amen? That way it can really do something and accomplish something in your life and my life. And that's what we want. Amen? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So as we speak about this spiritual law, it's something that God established right at the beginning. Amen? He said, during creation, let every seed bring forth after its own kind. And that was speaking about his word too. If you can receive it. Amen? Amen. It's going to bring forth after its own kind. He spoke his word, his attributes, his thoughts, and that will produce after his kind. Amen? Amen. So as we said this morning, a seed contains everything in it that whatever the plant, whatever the fruit will be, is going to grow up. It's everything is there. Amen? It just needs the right kind of atmosphere. But everything that the life itself is contained in that seed. And it's all the potential of all the fruit of whatever that particular plant is. Amen? Maybe the very first seeds was your parent reading the Bible to you, your mother or your father, just reading Bible stories to you. Amen? Talking to you about God, praying around the dinner table. Seeing your mom and dad pray, that's a seed that's being planted in your life. That's something that's being established right from the beginning, that there is a God, and we honor him, and we trust him, and we thank him. Amen? You say, oh, that's such a little thing. No. Brother, sister, a seed is a little thing. Amen. Brother Branham tells a story about a man who was in the war. And the chaplain found him and he'd been shot in and he was dying. I don't remember if it was the First World War or Second, whenever. It doesn't really matter, I guess. And he said he had gotten away from God. Remember the story? And the man told him, he said, just go back to where you left him. And that's where you'll find him. And he began to think and go back in his mind and through his life. No doubt he's rehearsing all the bad decisions that he made all through his life. And he went so far back until he found where he had left God. And it was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Just what that seed that had been planted as a child. Amen. But he was able to go back to that. Amen. And that's where he found God again. Oh, but think, and we say, oh, that's a wonderful story. But think if he had just kept making those good decisions. If he had kept planting good seed instead of going a different direction. But that power of that seed that had been planted as just a child, it was still there and it was still producing fruit. So we don't want to minimize those things. Amen? Those seeds will reproduce and multiply in our lives. So, I mean, if these laws weren't in place, then we wouldn't be very good gardeners or farmers, right? Because we rely on these things. We rely on seeds multiplying for our food. Amen? We're thankful for that. But it means so much more in the spiritual realm. But brother, sister, let me tell you something. As someone who has a background in agriculture, amen, and has done a little bit of gardening myself, I can tell you that a farmer, or someone who's going to plant seed, especially if their livelihood depends on it, they will very carefully choose their seed. Amen. And there are whole genetic lines that they develop, and they carefully research what they're going to put in the ground because they know that their livelihood depends on it. They're looking for the perfect quality in that seed. In the places that produce seed, they can do all kinds of coatings on them, and they go through all different quality checks. They keep them in very controlled atmospheres. The humidity is a big factor. And so how they're stored, how they're transported, how they're packaged, how they're developed, how they're harvested, all of that is important to the farmer who's going to buy that seed. He's going to examine it and make sure before he plants it that seed is exactly what he's looking for. Amen. Shouldn't we do that in the spiritual realm? We're talking about life and death. Amen. I think I've told this here before, but I think it's such a beautiful example. We used to get in the mail, we used to get catalogs of seeds. Big catalogs. Amen. You know, I can remember as a kid when the Sears catalog was a big deal, right? Around Christmas time, we'd get the big old Sears catalog. And catalogs, you didn't have the internet, you had a catalog. I don't know if they still do the seed catalogs or not. I imagine it's on the internet now. But we used to get these catalogs of seeds. And they would, the seed catalog would tell you all the characteristics that were in these seeds. Right? If you were looking for, a certain kind of peas, right? Everybody like peas? I love peas. Right off the plant. I love that. I could spend all day in the garden just eating peas. I used to love to just shell them and I would eat them as I went. So I just loved them. But there's, dozens of different kinds of peas out there. Right? So what one are you going to plant? Well, I don't know. You can research it. The seed catalog will tell you all about the different characteristics. There's, you know, within a family of plant, there's ones for this kind of soil and that kind of soil and this kind of climate and that kind of climate. There's big ones and little ones. There's ones if you want to just eat the little. I didn't like those. You know, I think they call them snap peas. You eat the little pod, the whole thing. Come on, I want a pea. I want the little. Right? There's the ones that you shell out and you eat them. You eat the whole pod. There's the ones that are really big and fat. And I didn't like those because they were kind of sour. There's the ones that they're smaller and they're sweet. They grow in bushes. They grow in vines. So if you if you were planting the seed that had a vine thing, you had to make a thing that it could climb up. You had to know what you were planting. And the seed catalog would have these beautiful pictures. I mean, you know, like the pumpkins and just beautiful things, right? I mean, it's like county fair award winning, man, if you plant this is what you're gonna get, right? And I mean, you know, they had full color spreads, and you know, they really showed off what you could expect to receive when you planted this wonder seed. I mean, they were selling you something, right? And they couldn't always, you know, guarantee that. Right? They could say, well, if you've got the right kind of soil and the right kind of condition and you have a green thumb, you don't kill everything, and you're good at watering it, then maybe you'll get something that looks like the picture. But no guarantee, right? But the potential is there. That's the way it is with this Bible. Amen? The Bible is full of all those promises. But the difference is, brother, sister, it's a slam dunk guarantee. You apply it by faith and you hold on to it and believe it. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you have a green thumb or not. It doesn't matter if you live in Arizona or someplace where there's actual moisture. Right? It's hard to grow stuff here. Amen. It doesn't matter if you have aphids or bugs or, right? The Word of God, it's like a giant seed catalog. Promise after promise, you can just read through it. I used to do that with the seed catalog and just look through it and go, man, that'd be cool. Whoa, look at those. Oh, wow. That's what we do with the Scripture. This promise. God promised this to me. He promised that to me. I can take that promise. I can take that seed. I can plant it. I can believe it. I can receive it. I can say, yes, Lord, that's for me. Amen? These are natural types of the spiritual. Seeds are our decisions, our choices, confession of our mouth on the Word of God. Amen? Every thought and action decision is going to sow seeds in your life. And you can sow seed according to the Word, or you can sow seed according to your own thinking, or according to what the world's telling you. But whatever you plant will grow up. Amen? And it will be harvested later. What an amazing power. Amen? That's powerful. Power in your decision. Just like in the natural, you will only reap what you sow. If I plant peas, I'm not getting a harvest of potatoes or tomatoes or anything else. I'm going to get exactly what I put in the ground. Amen? This has been lived out in the Bible, brother, sister, over and over and over and over. Amen? Jacob is a great example in the Bible. He wanted the birthright. Is that right? But he sowed bad seed along the way. He did some things that, you know, are a little bit shady. Right? He wronged his brother. And that seed came to fruition and he had to deal with it. It had to be faced later on. He had to reconcile. He had to face that the consequences of that decision. He deceived his father, and he was deceived by his sons. You ever think of that? He deceived his father into giving him the birthright. He was deceived by his sons when they told him that Jacob had been killed by a wild animal. Very similar type of deceit. You see, he was reaping what he had sown. Amen? A prophet of God. The called elect of God. But the law still applies. He was still reaping what he'd sown. It didn't change the fact that he was God's chosen. It didn't change the fact that God, the birthright flowed through him, and he was the lineage that God called his people through, that Christ himself would come through. But he still had to reap what he had sown. Amen? Amen. We know that David was another example. He sowed many good seeds, and he was blessed of God because of things that he did in obedience to God. But we also know that he sowed some bad seed. He disobeyed God. He did some wrong things, and he had to reap what he had sown. His child died. He had to deal with rebellion. Amen? He went through terrible hardships. His kingdom was flipped upside down because of decisions that he made. God's chosen man, a man after God's own heart, a prophet of God who wrote many chapters and psalms, prophesied of Jesus Christ. A man selected by God through Samuel the prophet. But when he sowed bad seed, he reaped the harvest. So none of us is immune from it. It's a law of God. Some seeds bear fruit right away, some further down the road. David's, man, he reaped the whirlwind later down the road, amen? The choices that we make affect ourselves and they affect others. Because David was a king, it affected his whole kingdom. It affected his family, and it affected all of Israel. It caused a civil war because he was the king. Because of the bad seed that he had sown, the bad decision that he made. Amen? Think about the choice that Adam made. Adam sowed bad seed in one choice, one decision. And we are still reaping the whirlwind. Amen? It ripples on and on and on and multiplies. And we are still affected by it today. Why? Because he's the father. Right? He's the first. Eve was the mother of all living. But he was the one that she came out of. He was the God of the earth. The higher the position, the more influence that one has, the more one can affect. Right? And when you have influence, you can affect others. The more influence you have, the more you can affect others. For good or for bad. It's power. Amen? We're talking about people that had power. People that had influence. But that means that when you make the right decision, you can have influence and power. Amen? You can influence other people. When you know, if you have younger siblings, maybe they look up to you. You can be an example to them. When you plant good seed, amen, that has a ripple effect down to them. Amen? When you make wrong decisions, they see that and they're affected by it. And they're more likely to follow that path. Amen? So when we sow seeds, it doesn't just affect us, but everyone around us reaps from what we have sown to some degree or another. Amen? But oh, brother, sister, when we allow Christ to live in our lives and guide us and lead us, and we're making the right choices and we're walking with him and we're praying every day and we're planting good seeds in our life, think about the blessings that can flow out from our lives. Think about the harvest that can be reaped. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got some quotes here to read to you tonight. We'll just... kind of all messed up here with my notes, so we're just going to read some of these, all right? There's a man here that can turn on the light. Spiritual life, he says, eternal life, can only come by God's spoken word of life. Life was the S-O-N this time. In him is light, and in him is no darkness. And he is God's spoken light. Is that right? God's spoken word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it's forever God. See, and it takes the light of God to strike the Word and to make it live. And here's what he spoke. Now, let the light shine. Amen. Let the light shine, and the light will bring every word to its right position in its season. You see, when it comes time, right, and we spoke about that this morning, that the Word of God is manifest in the right time. And seeds mature in our life in their season. So sometimes, brother, sister, we can get discouraged because we've been planting the right seeds, but we're not seeing the harvest yet. We're wondering, is it going to come? When's it going to come? Is it going to come? And the enemy comes and tries to discourage you from continuing to plant good seed because you're not seeing the harvest yet. But don't worry, it's on its way. It will come. But it'll come in its season. It'll come just in the right time. Amen. So he says, you see, when it comes time, sometimes that little grain lays in the earth dormant all through the winter, like seed of winter wheat sowed in the ground. But when the sun gets just right, oh, it's got to live, see? And it can't live without the sun. And God's made promises for every age and every day. And when the light gets right and shines upon that, it'll produce just exactly what the Word said, because He is the light and the life. Now, of course, this is true on a large scale with the church, right? Where God waited until this time to shine that light, right? And to activate the Word and to bring it forth under the light of the message. But this principle is true for any seed of God, any promise of God. You can't dictate when it's going to come forth, no matter how much you want to. That's why Brother Branham would teach us about the difference between a miracle and a healing. He said a miracle was God just coming down and sovereignly doing it instantly, right? But he said a healing, that's a Bible promise. That's a seed that you plant. You put it in the ground, you cover it up, you believe it. You say, God, I'm going to water it faithfully by confessing nothing but that promise. And I don't know when it's going to come up, but that seed will bring forth. That promise will come to pass. Amen. And you can't make it happen, and you certainly can't speed it up. And he said, we like to dig it up and look and dig it up and look and dig it up and look. But it'll happen. I remember maybe many of you have done this. In grammar school, they had us do these little things where they would, you would take like a bean seed or something like that, right? And you'd plant it in a little cup, right? Or maybe they would plant it in something with glass on it so you could actually see the seed. That was really cool, right? Because you could see it. And every day I remember we would come in and check. Did anything happen? Right? Nope, it still looks like a bean, right? Anything happen? Nope. Anything happen? Nope. Anything happen? Right? And it would go on. And then all of the sudden, there's life there. Something happened. It started to crack. Whew. It's a bean with a crack in it. But something happened. Something's beginning to move. It's not a bean plant yet, but something is happening. There's life there. Amen? And as long as you didn't dig it up, as long as you kept watering it, right? For a kid, that was hard because, our attention span was already like 30 seconds as it was. But, then, you know, day after day, and you had, the teacher would make us water it, and, you know, we had to place it, in, take it out. I think we had to put it in the window and put it back or something we had to do every single day. And it kind of got discouraging, right? Did anything happen? All right, nothing changed. And then all of a sudden, man, they would just explode, right? All of a sudden, this green shoot would pop out of the bean seed. It's like, that's a miracle, man. I put a bean in there, and now there's a plant. And you could see the roots beginning to form. And it was awesome. But it was also instructive. That if you do things according to the law, you will get what the law dictates. Amen? Amen. We as his offspring, we have the ability of the Creator. The original one. That was how he created. He used seeds. He used his word. He spoke his word and he believed it. And it might have taken a billion zillion years for it to happen. All right, Brother Branham talks about, he dramatizes how God began to blow, right? And he began to create the universe and the galaxies, and he would blow off a piece of dust, and he said it would spin, I don't remember how long, a million billion years, just spinning and spinning and spinning, and then stop it. And then that began to form and become the earth. I don't have a million billion years to wait for a seed to come up. Right? But that's the principle. Amen? The seed is planted. And then right in the perfect time, when it's in the perfect position, in the perfect place, something happens. Amen? You hold on to the promise, and you hold on to the promise, and you quote the word, and you quote the word back to God, and you remind him of the promise, and you listen to the tapes, and you pray, and you read your Bible, and you hold to the promise, and then one day, that promise, that seed hits the right spot. And boom, it happens. That's how God created everything. Amen. And we are children of the Creator. That's how we bring things into manifestation. Amen. As his offspring, we create by planting seeds. You're quiet. You believe it. From the message at thy word. He says, you don't know how you'll get up out of that chair. I think we read this one this morning, but it's okay. We'll read it again. And we've read it before, and we'll read it again, and we'll read it again, and we'll read it again. And then one day that seed will quicken in your life. You don't know how you'll get up out of that chair and get away from there tonight. See, you don't know where, how you're going to do this and how these other diseases is going to be healed. But at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net. At thy word, Lord, I'm going to rise up from here. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But at thy word, Lord, that's it. Take God at his word. God's spoken word must and will materialize and produce just exactly what it says it will. Listen, the right mental attitude toward any promise of God, divine promise of God, will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. If you plant, if you want corn, you plant corn. Water corn. Leave corn alone, it'll produce corn. Is that right? Wheat will produce wheat. The promise of salvation will produce a Christian. The promise of the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. The promise of divine healing will make you well. Any divine promise of God, and the Bible said that the word of God is a seed. Amen. You believe that? From the spoken word is the original seed. Jesus is the word of God, and he was bursted open. That life, the life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is spirit, water flowing over the spirit, over the seed of God, will bring forth the life that was of the seed. and to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed in there. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. Amen? Amen. That clear. Produce the life of the seed, for that's what it's given for. Amen. Through words we speak and can create, because they are seeds that will bring a harvest. Amen. Your confession becomes a spoken word. It becomes a seed that you plant. With your mouth you create an atmosphere. With your choices you plant seeds that will bear fruit. We can choose to sow corruption in our lives. We can choose to sow lust in our lives. We can choose to sow worldliness in our lives. And we will harvest those things multiplied. Amen? You can't expect good things if you don't sow good seed. As I mentioned, parents sow seeds into their children's lives right from the beginning. By the words that they use. By the actions that they demonstrate. They demonstrate to those children what's important in life. Amen? Amen. If you have parents that bring you to church, you should be thankful. Especially when they bring you to church when there's obstacles. Right? There's an obstacle and they say, well, it doesn't matter, we're going to church. Because we go to church. We don't let that get in the way. Yep, we're tired. Yep, this. Yep, that's going on. But we go to church. Right? And when children see their parents doing that, most of the time they'll follow right along. They'll just have the attitude, well, we just go to church. Right? Because that's what we did. Amen. What happened? You sowed that seed in their life and they are reaping the benefits from it. So they could overcome that. They could decide, no, I'm not going to. But now we would call that inertia. Right? There's already a weight they have to overcome. They have to overcome that goodness in their life. And it's much easier just to do what we've always done. We go to church. Amen? I don't know. We're talking to the Sunday night crowd here, so amen. Amen. There's many testimonies in our church, in this message, in people that have come to Christ, that Christ has delivered. Many testimonies of wonderful things that God has done in people's lives. Delivered them from drugs, delivered them from alcohol, delivered them from pornography, delivered them from suicide, delivered them from all kinds of things. But those people have scars. I'm speaking to the young people. They have scars. There are things that were sown in their life that they still, you know, maybe it diminishes as time goes on, but they have reaped a harvest. And there's a harvest maybe that they still even have to deal with. They have memories that the enemy can attack them with, but God's grace is there. Amen. Amen. We're thankful. We're not saying that they're not victorious. Not saying that at all, but there's a battle because of decisions that they made. And there's a battle that they had to fight. Wouldn't it be better to make the right decision in the beginning? Amen. To sow good seed from the beginning and not make that choice and not have to harvest that harvest. Amen? If we never, you know, I've heard it said that, oh, you know, as a young person, I have to go out in the world and I have to experience it because, you know, how else am I going to have a testimony of God's deliverance? That is a lie from Satan. You do not have to do that. If you never go out in the world, you will reap what you have. You will reap what you have sown no matter what. But if you never sow those seeds, you won't have to reap that harvest. Amen. And all those that have gone out in the world and know that that's the truth, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you hear that, young people. Amen. You don't have to do that. Don't do it. The harvest that you reap tomorrow, your future, depends on what you do today. Amen? The decisions that you make today is what you will be tomorrow. But sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes it feels like all you're doing is plowing and planting. Plowing and planting. I gave the example of divine healing, right? Sometimes you're not seeing a harvest. I keep doing this. I keep doing what I know is right. I keep doing it and I keep doing it. That's why the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing. It is a law of God. You will harvest it. But you have to be perseverant. That's where patience comes in. Patience has its perfect work. Patience and perseverance. We sow the seed and we protect it and we create the atmosphere and its work and its labor. And sometimes we don't see the results right away, but we will see them. Amen. Amen. And sometimes the temptation is that the enemy would dangle something out before you. Oh, there's a quick satisfaction, right? That looks better. All I've got here is dirt and seeds. No harvest yet. But out there, oh, look at that. Look at the pretty, right? But if you stay with it, you will reap a more beautiful, bountiful harvest than you ever would following after Satan's lies. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I've got a bunch of quotes. Let's just read some of these, okay? I don't even know where we're at in here. All right, let's just go through these quotes. Wisdom versus faith. He says, now, see, as soon as she did that and accepted wisdom with the word, so he's talking about Eve. As soon as she accepted wisdom, man's wisdom with the word, and wisdom was contrary to the word. If you understand, say amen. Amen. The congregation replies, amen. Amen. See, if wisdom is with the word and proves to be with the word, and the word produces itself by the same thing, then it is the word. So he's saying, as long as wisdom lines up with the word of God, it's fine. Right? But once it's contrary to the word, that's the problem, right? He says, if wisdom is against the word and not with the word, but trying to find something to add to it or take from it, it's of the devil. And the Holy Ghost seeds of the Bible cannot grow in the atmosphere of wisdom. That kills every seminary in the country. You see what he said, talking about the Holy Ghost seeds of the Bible. What is that? The promises? The promise of the Holy Ghost. The promise of the power to live an overcoming life. The promise of healing. The promise of deliverance. The promise of authority over demon powers. And finally, the promise of a rapture and a body change. The promise of revelation. Amen? Those cannot grow in the atmosphere of wisdom. He says that kills every seminary in the country. That knocks the holes right out through them and punctures them till the judgment flows in. That's right, it certainly does, because the word cannot grow with wisdom. Worldly wisdom, it won't do it. Amen. You want to keep confessing the promise of God and cast down reasoning. Amen. The enemy is going to come and try to get you to dig up those seeds. But you've got to keep watering it by faith, no matter what your mind tells you. Amen? Jehovah Jireh says, we must remember that nothing can be done without faith, and it first has to be confessed. For he is the author of faith, we know that, and that nothing can be done without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And now, he is the high priest of our confession. Let me just break here. What is the high priest? The high priest is the one that's making intercession for us. Amen. The one that is taking what we speak with our mouths and is applying it in heavenly places. When we pray and we ask for forgiveness, the high priest is washing us. He's forgiving our sins, casting it in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? He's working on our confession. The high priest of our confession, he says, now the King James here in the book of Hebrews puts it as profession. To profess and confess is the same thing. Profess and confess. Confess means to say the same thing. By his stripes, I am healed. That's a seed. By his stripes, I am healed. Amen. So you take that and plant it in your life by confessing it. By his stripes, I am healed. Amen. See, he says, now by his life, I am saved. You plant that seed in your life by that confession. You've taken it out of the scripture. It's in seed form, and you plant it by confessing what that promise says. And you confess that, and you water it by faith, and it will grow. You say, by his life, I am saved. Lord, I accept you as my Savior. You plant that in your life, and he becomes your Savior. You say, by his stripes, I am healed. You take that seed, that promise, you plant it in your life. By faith, you receive it and water it, and he becomes your healer. He says, now, first we've got to confess it. And then he sits as a mediator, the only mediator between God and men. He sits there to make intercession upon what we confess that he has done. What a sound, solid thing that is. Amen. Amen? He says, Father, through their confession, they have planted the seed of your word that says that I died to save them. Amen? He makes that intercession based on your confession, and then he becomes your Savior. Brother Branham says, what a sound, solid thing that is. I like that, don't you? Sound and solid. Confession, no matter what. Patience, with patience and tears and long suffering sometimes. We have to confess the word of God. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm delivered. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read to you this scripture in Ecclesiastes. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You might say, well, that's strange. Ecclesiastes 11:4. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And I've got it here in the King James, and I've also got it in the New Living just kind of to help understand it a little better. But it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As the New Living, it says, farmers who wait for the perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they will never harvest. Amen. Well, I'll believe it. You know, if I could just see some symptom change, then I'll believe that my healing. No. You wait for the symptoms to line up with the promise. You're like a farmer who's waiting for the perfect weather. Amen. If you wait for it, it'll never come. You've got to plant. And plant, even when it doesn't seem like it's the right, it seems like, oh, this is ridiculous, it's silly, it doesn't make sense, plant it anyway. Amen. You want to get a harvest? Keep planting. Amen? You're always going to be able to find an excuse. Well, you know, It's too hot. It's too dry. It's too wet. Plant anyway. You never know what's going to happen. You know, God's word is powerful. Amen? You plant the seeds of the word in your life, and who knows? Maybe something will happen. I'm being sarcastic. It will happen. Amen? But not if you don't plant. The farmer that thinks he's going to get a harvest without planting is delusional. You observe the outward conditions. You allow external forces to keep you from your promise. Amen? It's kind of like what we were saying this morning. You know, the word of God being manifested doesn't have anything to do with outward exterior circumstances. The only thing that will hinder it is your will. Amen? The word of God is more powerful than any outward circumstance. But your will, your decision not to receive it, will stop it. Amen? Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you because I love that scripture. Greater than Solomon is here. Just a couple more quotes here from a message. Is that all right? He says, Jonah, under those circumstances, in that condition, could look to a temple that was made by man and prayed over by a man. How much more ought we tonight, under these conditions, look away from a temple but to the throne where God sits there? And Jesus on his right hand with his own bloody garments making intercession for our profession. Setting as a high priest upon a throne. Symptoms doesn't mean anything to us then. God said so, and that's all. Jesus is sitting there tonight to make your confession right before God. He's a high priest to make intercession upon our confession. You got to believe it and confess it that it's so, and then Jesus can go to work on it for you. You see the order, right? You believe it, confess it, and then he begins to go to work on it. You can't expect to reap a harvest until you've sown the seed. Believe it. Confess it. At thy word, Lord, he says, for God can only save you as you testify. He can only heal you as you testify. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight to make intercession on your profession. It's not how loud you cry or how hard you beat the altar or how many good deeds you do. It's your faith that saves you. And if you'll confess it with your lips and coming from your heart, he goes to work as a high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession on your confession. Hebrews 3:1, he cannot do one thing for you until you first believe it, accept it, and confess it. Planting seeds. And the people today, they'll go out and say, well, I felt better last night, but today I'm just so bad, I can't hardly stand it. See, they're looking at circumstances. Looking at symptoms. He says, that's just exactly when you lose your confession and you drop right down. No matter who you are, how saintly, how godly you are, if you're a minister, a clergyman, a deacon, or whatever you are, you've been a Christian for 50 years, right? Because it's a law. He says, if you go out here tomorrow and lose faith that you're a Christian and start telling people you're not a Christian anymore, you're backslid. You're gone. Only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God put in the hand of man, is a committal and a confession. It'll do it every time if you'll believe it, accept it on those bases, believe it and stay with it. What's that last part? Amen. Stay with it. Many times that's the hard part, isn't it? Yeah. Stay with it. Keep confessing it. Stay with it. Keep confessing it. It's going to bring forth. He says, when you confess it, you know what a lot of people look at symptoms? They always go around and say, well, now I don't feel any better. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. It's what you believe, not what you feel. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not what you feel. You have to confess even when it doesn't feel good. Like a farmer has to plant, even when it doesn't look like the right kind of weather. You've got to do it. Amen? Desiring something without a confession, it's like expecting a crop without a planting. So we want to plant the right things in our lives. Amen? We want to confess with our mouth the right things. Things that are according to the Word of God. Amen? We don't want to confess things like, I can't. Many times that's just an excuse anyway. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things according to His Word, of course. Right? We shouldn't confess that we lack in anything. Amen? Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs. Amen. If we confess that seed and plant that seed, that's what we will harvest. That my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not my wants, my needs. Amen. We shouldn't confess fear. We shouldn't give place to fear. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love. Amen. And of a sound mind. And He has given us a spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I know who my Father is. Whom shall I fear? Amen? I want to plant those kind of seeds in my life, not seeds of fear and despair. I don't want to plant seeds of doubt. God has given every man a measure of faith, especially His children. Amen? I don't want to confess weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life. I'm weak in myself, but through Him I am strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should never confess the power of Satan in our lives. He doesn't have power over us. He doesn't have authority over us. Amen? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Why give him that place? I don't want to plant that kind of seed. Amen? I want to plant the kind of seed that my God is greater. My God is bigger. My God is stronger. I'm not defeated. God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. Amen? These are things that we should confess in our lives. I don't have wisdom. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that He giveth wisdom liberally. Amen? That Christ Jesus has made unto me the wisdom of God. Amen. Confess sickness, by His stripes I am healed. Now that's not to say, you can't say, man, I'm going through it. I I'm being attacked. But I'm confessing that I am healed. Amen. Amen? Worries, frustrations. We spend more time talking about our worries than we do saying, I'm casting my cares on Him. Amen? I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. The more that you confess that, the more seeds you're planting in your life. But I'm casting all my cares on Him, for He careth for me. Was that right? In Jesus Christ, I am carefree. Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in all things, make your requests made known unto Him. Amen. Do we believe the word or not? Amen. condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Loneliness. I don't want to confess loneliness. I don't want to plant the seeds of loneliness in my life. Because he said he would be with me. Always. Even until the end of the age, he would be with us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Say, I'm not worthy. No, you're not. But he hath made you worthy. Amen. Confess that. Lord, I'm not worthy, but I thank you. I thank you because you have made me worthy. The Bible says we have been made the righteousness of God. Amen. You plant that seed in your life, you know what? That's what you will be. You will become, you, if you're not that now, you will become that if you plant those seeds in your life. You believe that? No matter how small, it will bear fruit, brother, sister. When we make a sacrifice, the little things I was talking about this morning, the little things in our lives, when we commit those to God and we do the right things, we make the right decisions, it will bear fruit. It will bear good fruit. I don't think I have this scripture up here, but Proverbs 12:14 says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Think about that. He'll be satisfied. In other words, he'll be blessed in his life with goodness by the fruit of his mouth. Yep, 14, you were almost there. 12:14. And the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The seeds that we plant in our lives, the confession that we speak about ourselves, has power, has consequences. So we want to speak and we want to make the right choices according to God's word. You believe that this evening? Amen. Let's stand. Brother, can you put up... I think it's Matthew 12:34. Let me see. I'm not sure that that's the right one. That's a good one, but that's not the one I was thinking of. What about 12? Hold on a second. Let me find it here. That's a good one, though. Okay, yeah, I don't have the one that I was thinking of. Sorry, that's okay. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father. Lord, your word is eternal, Lord. Lord, it's perfect. It's a solid foundation, Lord. We know, Lord, if we just work according to your word and to your laws, Lord, that we will reap the benefits of it, Father. Oh, God. Lord, it tears my heart out when I see people sowing seeds of destruction in their lives, Lord, because I know that they're going to reap the harvest. I see it happen over and over, and you just want to just shake them and say, don't do that. Don't you know that there's going to be a consequence? It might not be tomorrow, it might not be the next day, but it will come. Lord, I want to pray right now for every young person in this building, Lord. Oh, God, that they would just bypass all of that. Lord, that they would sow good seeds of faith into their lives. Lord, that they would follow after you with all of their hearts. That they would not give in to the lies of the world that would tempt them into sowing seeds of destruction in their lives. The enemy tries to paint it up and to make it look good and make it look pretty and convince you that if you do this, you'll be happy. This is where you'll find joy. But it's a lie. It's destruction. And sometimes sowing the seeds of God, the seeds of the Word, it's not as exciting. It may not seem at the time to be as shiny or bright, but in the end, the fruit will outshine anything the world has to offer. Lord, your word is beautiful. It's wonderful. If we live according to it, it's the best life that we could live. But more than that, it's eternal life. It's peace and comfort with you. It's walking with you. It's living for you. It's spending eternity with you. Lord, that's my prayer for every young person in this building. That's my prayer for every old person in this building, Lord, that we would sow good seeds into our lives. Lord, and that we would be perseverant doing that. Lord, I pray that you would encourage anyone tonight, Lord. Maybe they've grown weary in well-doing, Lord. Maybe they've been holding on to the promise so long that they've grown tired of it and they've grown weary of it. Help them, Lord, to keep watering that promise, Lord. Not digging up that seed, but keep watering it. Keep watering it with their confession. I've received that word and I'm going to keep believing it and keep holding on to it. And I know that it's going to produce a harvest. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you would just help every one of us, Lord, to plant the right kind of seeds, the right kind of confession in our lives. We can start right now. Maybe we've been doing it wrong up to this point, but we can start right now. When we go home tonight, we can say what your word says. Not complain, not say the wrong things, Lord. Not even put those words in our mouths, but say what your word says. Speak faith. Speak confession of your word. Speak positive, because your word is positive. Oh God, we know this is not mind over matter. This is faith in your promise. I pray you bless my brothers and sisters, Lord. Just this simple little chopped up idea, this little thought message tonight, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that somebody would take a hold of it, Lord. And it'll produce something in their lives. I pray that you'd help us to do that, Father, tonight. For we love you, Lord. We want to please you. We're your children tonight. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. I thank you for what you're doing in the young people in this church. Lord, I thank you what you're doing in their lives, Lord. I thank you for those that are seeking you. The heart that they have to serve you, Lord. May that never diminish, oh God, I pray. But may they move on to higher and higher heights. Pressing on, not giving in, not looking back. When they fall flat on their face, getting up and going on again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the promises in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're a healer. Thank you, Lord, that you're a deliverer. Thank you, Lord, that you're a friend, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast our cares on you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that you're our Savior. You're our healer. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we honor you, oh God. We just say thank you. We want to live for you with all of our hearts, all of our souls, every part of our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you. In your name we pray. Oh, the name above all names, the name of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brother, sister, let's just take whatever you have need of tonight. You just take a hold of that promise. Hey, man, you water it with your praise tonight. You water it with thanksgiving. You water it with a confession of faith tonight. Amen. And see what he'll do with it. Amen. That seed will produce what it was sent to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A scripture. Amen. That the goodness of God would come running after you. But the reason that is the harvest. Amen? The goodness of God follows when you planted the seeds. Amen? You plant and you reap the whirlwind. That's the goodness of God. It's to overflowing. It's your cup runneth over. It's so much that you're trying to get away from it and it's overwhelming you. The goodness of God. Amen? I love that. You can't even handle it. It's so much. It's so good. Hallelujah. It's running after me. His goodness and mercy. Oh, glory to God. Let's sing it again. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. Hallelujah. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Oh, is that your testimony tonight? He's faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am. Never left you. He's never forsaken you. All my life.